Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week, we've got a cornucopia of sorts of films to discuss with you.
You know, you've said that before.
Really?
I distinctly remember in a past show you talking about
the cornucopia of movies. Well, hey, you know what? Cornucopias aren't a one-time thing. They can come around every once in a while.
And this is one of those weeks. Come around every Thanksgiving.
What's that?
They come around every Thanksgiving.
I was going to make a Thanksgiving joke, but it's too soon, I think.
Yeah, it's way too soon. Yeah. They don't even have turkeys in the store.
Right. They haven't killed them.
Well, yeah, you don't want to kill
them. I mean,
that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. The meat will go raw or bad or whatever.
What? If you kill them right away, they're instantly
cooked. If you kill them now and try and wait till Thanksgiving, it's just, it won't work out.
Unless they're frozen.
This is true.
Which, by the way, if you ever want to buy, if you're okay with frozen turkeys.
We're already talking about produce.
Turkeys are not produce. Wow.
Stuff you buy at the
You are obviously somebody who buys everything in a package.
I buy frozen food.
Everything comes in a package, no matter what it is.
Even if it's packages. So.
No, but if you ever want to buy turkeys, if you ever want to buy a real turkey, you get the frozen ones, you go like Wednesday night before Thanksgiving and you go to the store and they sell them for like 20 cents a pound.
Cool.
It's awesome. You can get like a 20-pound turkey for like $5.
Anyways, if you'd like to get a hold of us now or in between now and Thanksgiving, here's how you can do that. You can go to fatguysthemovies.com. You can also go over to iTunes. Go to the iTunes store, search Fat Guys the Movies, and our turkey heads pop up, I suppose.
What are you talking about?
You can email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. Or you can leave us a voicemail, something that people have been doing in droves lately. At area code 614-388-8735. And I think it's worth noting that we had a bunch of voicemails this week, and not all of them came through.
Were they from different numbers?
They were from different numbers.
We should just randomly start calling these people back and say, what?
What? What did you want? Called us.
Yeah.
But thank you to everybody that left us a voicemail.
Including...
none of them came through to the point where we could play them on the show, which is unfortunate.
Including that lady from California, who actually makes us feel respectable.
Yeah, she said that she's not offended too much yet, but we're going to do our
best. Was she offended a little bit?
No, she's not offended. Well, I don't remember exactly what she said.
I don't think she said she's still
listening. So we'll do our best to drive her away this week.
I was like I said, I don't feel like I do my job properly if people aren't offended.
Right. It's yes. So speaking of being offended, I don't know how that relates. We've got a movie to talk about. We've got four of them, actually. The first one is College. It's about three misfit high school seniors who take a trip to visit college for the time of their life.
So you guys going on some sort of road trip to Fieldmont this weekend? I just went there to visit my bro.
Almost didn't make it back. Dude, it's just college.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. I didn't sleep for 3 days, okay? I don't have any money left in my bank account. I maxed out my parents' credit card, which was only supposed to be used in case of an emergency. I tried smoking a tampon, wet my brother's bed twice, stole a car, got in a bar fight, ate some goldfish, played naked frisbee, found a tattoo on my lower back of a unicorn. Don't remember getting that. I laughed, I cried. So all in all, I'd say it was pretty much the best weekend of my life.
If you recognize the guy's voice from the trailer, I don't know if he's in the movie because they didn't show it to us.
Oh, right. Yeah. Big I was wondering surprise. Where this movie came from.
Yeah. Well, it didn't come from College because I don't know. It came. But this kid is the kid from Punk'd, and he was also in that awful movie Full of It, which came out last year.
Yeah, Ryan Pinkston.
Ryan Idiot.
Pinkston.
Idiot.
Oh, wow. His name's right in front of me, isn't it?
Okay.
He's not even a high bill.
No, I don't care what his name is.
Ryan Pinkston, yeah. He was in that movie. Sucked.
Full of It.
Yeah, I remember. We were like the only ones who went to see that movie, and that was like one of the first times we've both wanted to like shoot the screen.
We were ready to commit like, you know, kill each other.
Rage. There was a lot of rage.
And Full of It, as we always said, was two letters away from an actual review.
Yep, exactly.
But this one is... this reminds me a lot of sort of like a cross between Superbad and Accepted, but not in a good way.
It's kind of like the Superbad knockoff of this year.
Yeah, it really seems to be just every kid going to college joke that you've seen before, the partying school type thing. I don't know. It might be funny. It might not.
Yeah, there's really nothing to be excited about here.
I haven't been more... just apathetic about a movie in a long time.
Well, that, and I think they're trying to bill it as like the Animal House of this generation.
Yeah.
They're not even close.
No.
I'm sure if it's not worth showing to film critics in Ohio, yeah. you're not winning that battle.
Did anybody get to see this movie? I don't know.
I doubt it. Yeah, who knows? Who cares? Anyways, this one gets preemptive suck because they decided not to show it to us. Yeah. Thanks, whichever studio, MGM. Thank you. It was awesome of you. Anyways, moving on.
Take that, MGM. That's right. We're just going to say your movie sucks.
That's true.
Out of hand. All day I'm probably long. Sure it does.
Anyways.
The next one is Babylon AD, another movie they didn't screen for us, where Vin Diesel plays a smuggler in the dark future who has to escort a mysterious woman to America.
I need a smuggler.
What's a package?
A girl. She needs to be in America in 6 days. Cross me and you'll have no place to hide anymore.
Are you a killer, Mr. Turab?
Yes. Now please get into the car. There's no mercy for the weak.
I can defend myself.
Now this movie actually wins an award for being the 1 millionth trailer to use the song Lux Aeterna in its trailer.
They use it in Sunshine, the trailer.
They use it in every movie that wants, they did to, not that use wants it in, to be dramatic.
Enchanted. They didn't do it in Enchanted.
This is trailer. True.
They didn't do it in Alvin and the Chipmunks.
But here's the deal with this movie. Another movie that was not screened for the press. So
we have no idea what it is.
We're totally speculating on how much it sucks at this point. And the other thing is that the director, Matthew Kasavitz, actually came out and said that it sucks.
Well, you know,
he said it was terrible.
This guy did Gothica, so it really must suck if he thought.
Right. So not only did they not show it to anyone, but it also, the director said it wasn't any good, and he said that the studio went back and cut it all up from its original version.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that speaks volumes, I guess.
This is just the most apathetic segment ever.
It is. We can't really... Well, I mean, they're getting a preemptive suck. There's just no way that these movies are getting off the hook here. And
allergies are bothering me.
Fair enough. I know you're going
to
go
I'm
see...
I'm so bored with the movies that I want to talk about my allergies. You wouldn't happen to have any Claritin around.
No. You're gonna go see Babylon AD this weekend, right?
That's right. I'm going to take... Actually, I have to say it looks kind of interesting. I like Vin Diesel, and I have to say... It's nice to see him back in the action role instead of like
true.
The pacifier or something like that.
I'm going to agree with you that this, from a couple of the trailers, looked like a decent thriller. But with all the, you know, the fact that they didn't screen it and the fact that the director's all mad at Fox Studios for cutting up his movie, this thing, I don't have a whole lot of hope for it. Who knows? It could do well on DVD. But I don't know if it's worth making the trek out there with the $4 a gallon gas.
Oh, come on. It's going to cost you like 50 cents to drive to the... How far away do you live from a movie theater? You live like almost walking distance from a movie
theater.
This
is also true.
Which is probably within 3 miles. And if you assume that your car gets 20 miles of the gallon or 25 miles of the gallon...
Yeah, this is
true. You're there for... It's like 50 cents.
Cool.
Quit making excuses for the gas.
This one,
I hate when people do that. People are like, oh, you know,
are you done?
I was going to send my kid to college, but then gas costs too much. I'm like, what?
You just want to send your kid to college. Well, this one gets a preemptive suck then, right? Yeah. All right, well, when we come back, 2 movies that we actually have seen. As we continue to roll on through, we've gone through the movies that we have not seen, and we are moving on to the movies that we have seen. And oddly enough, one of these movies is made by the ragtag team of Friedberg and Seltzer, the guys who notoriously make terrible spoof movies.
Not crazy.
We actually saw it before we had to go to print with, or before we had to go to, what do they call this? Go
on
to radio?
Air.
Go to digital
broadcast
audio file?
On the air?
Before we had to go on the air? We're not on the air, though.
Well,
yeah. We're recording.
I apologize to the listeners. I sounded like Stan Marsh's sister from South Park because I was chewing a piece of ice.
Fair enough.
At the time. And I was trying to explain to you, like, on the air, and you're like, no, not the air.
We're
not on the air, though.
We're on the
radio,
we're recording
dude.
Stuff.
Well, yeah,
this will
be
on the radio
on the air.
At some point.
We're laying it down.
Fair enough. We are laying down a track. So we actually saw these two movies before we had to lay down our track of movie knowledge. The first one is it's called Traitor, and it stars Don Cheadle as a freelance weapons supplier who is enlisted by a major terrorist organization in a plan to hit U.S. soil.
Staff Sergeant Samir Horn, U.S. Army Special Forces, Engineering and Explosives.
His test scores are off the charts.
The Army sent Horn to Pakistan in 86 to train the Afghan rebels. When his tour was over, he stayed behind.
I'm not coming back. You have to forget about me. Just forget about me.
Sammy,
let me go.
There's been a bombing in Spain.
Today you struck a great blow. A great blow against the myth of American power.
We should be concentrating on the one suspect that we have.
Who's the suspect?
Hmm?
Who's the suspect?
I'm sorry, I completely zoned out during that. I'm very tired.
You seem very tired. It's very unfortunate because I think there's a lot to be said for the movie that we're going to talk about after we talk about this one.
Yes.
But Traitor, here's the thing. It tried to mix a little bit of Bourne, and I think you mentioned it earlier in the week. It tried to mix a little bit of The Departed.
It's like The Departed with terrorists instead of gangsters.
And while there was a lot about the movie I liked, including but not limited to Don Cheadle, who's pretty much awesome in everything he does.
Yeah, he wasn't off as him in Bullworth.
Nah, he was good in Bullworth. Everybody was good in
Bullworth. Bullworth was terrible. That was
Bullworth.
An awful movie.
Are you kidding me? That's
it
an awesome
was so
movie.
So
whatever.
Bad.
Get out of here.
Warren Beatty getting all ghetto. Are you kidding me?
That's a fantastic movie. Anyways.
That movie needs
I
to
liked
be burned.
I like Don Cheadle's performance in this movie. I like
then pooped on.
Guy Pearce's performance in this movie. I thought that visually it was okay, and it just didn't move very well. It felt like it dragged in the wrong spots, and it I don't know. It wasn't an easy movie to sit there and watch. Like, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't intended to be an easy watch, but it did feel dry at certain points. Dry like the desert sand.
You traitor.
But
you're a traitor to movies.
But you know what? I don't know. It was okay. It's really not a movie, though, that I would recommend highly going to see in a theater.
I would have to say Traitor's the kind of movie that if you're somebody who, when I was in high school, like in high school and college, I'd go see a movie every weekend at least, you know.
Yeah.
So if you were an avid moviegoer, you could do worse than Traitor. I mean, go see Traitor, but the reality is, you know, 3 years from now, you'll be like flipping through USA TV and you'll be like, oh, hey, it's that movie with Don Cheadle.
Yeah. It felt
terrorist.
Like a USA TV type of movie.
I mean, it was intense. I thought it had all the parts to it. Now, there was stuff that was ridiculously predictable to it,
mm-hmm.
Even if you haven't seen the entire trailer, which gives away at least half the movie.
Yeah.
But I like Don Cheadle. My big problem is that he's such a nice guy. It's kind of hard to take him as a terrorist. You're just kind of like, he's just such a nice guy. You know, I mean, it's sort of like putting, I don't know, somebody else. He's just very charismatic and you tend to like them. It was a little confusing at times because they just threw a lot at you, and they think they intentionally made it confusing, and it, you know, it used a lot of things we've seen before. But like I said, it was a little predictable, and it preached at times. But what I respected about the preaching is it would preach in these like little pills here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd hit and you're like, oh, preaching moment. You kind of hold your breath and get through it, and then you go back to sort of the international thriller.
You're right in that respect. It didn't feel heavy-handed at all.
Yeah, it wasn't like pervasive, like constant.
And I thought it did an okay job of showing the other side. You know, a little bit of perspective from the other side. Although I think it got in its own way in that respect, because it tried to paint some of the terrorists as like they're just misled. You know,
well, yeah,
they're led astray by rhetoric or something like that.
Well, on one hand, they did try and make the message that not all Muslims are terrorists, which is true. You know,
for
I mean,
the most
this is
part.
Yeah,
just kidding.
Okay,
yeah, it's
you
totally
look like
true.
A terrorist.
It's
you
totally
with your beard
true.
And everything. No,
I am a terrorist.
That's
actually.
Right. You're a terrorist on the air. no, but I mean, they make a point to say not all Muslims are terrorists. There's a lot of them in the world. Blah blah blah. But on the same token, they do show the inner workings and this whole. You know, just average people getting taken in, and they're saying, oh, well, the Americans did this to us and everything. And you're like, well, now you're making the point. Now you're making the case that every Muslim is at the very least a potential terrorist. And I think
right.
that's
there was
accurate.
A point during the movie where I was like, man, this movie's going to scare the crap out of everybody in America. And then by the time everything resolved itself, I was like, oh, it's not that bad.
Well, you know, what's funny is this is the thing, you know, everyone always goes, yeah, racial profiling or whatever. If you're on a bus, train, or plane, and there's a person next to you clutching a bag and murmuring in Arabic and saying stuff like Allah Akbar.
And sweating heavily.
Sweating and looking really nervous. It is okay to like tell on them.
Yep.
I mean,
it doesn't even matter. If you see anyone doing that, sitting, I mean, if I saw a person praying, you know,
walking to New York and there's a guy in a refrigerator box doing that, you just walk on by.
That's a whole different thing. I mean, that's a guy hitting his refrigerator box. Anyways, let's wrap this up. I don't think we can really say much more about this movie without sounding like we're really bored.
I thought it kind of rocked.
Kind of rocked. I have to agree with kind of rocked only because I enjoyed some of it. Yeah. And it was just, but otherwise mediocre.
Anyways, go in expecting too much.
Moving on.
Next one is a disaster movie. Yep. Another spoof movie with a really accurate title.
I am Iron Man.
Hannah Montana's dead.
Goodbye, my fans. Keep rocking. And don't forget to buy my 2 new CDs.
And so I thought, could a simple New York City gal like me really beat up on a pregnant teenager?
I never back down.
Is that your feet?
And this is my baby's foot.
Disaster movie.
Taste it.
Here's the deal. Okay.
A baby's foot.
It takes a lot, and we're talking a lot, to get average people to walk out of a free movie.
They were old. They were old dudes.
It wasn't just the old people, okay?
There was more than one group.
I've been at Sundance when they played terrible movies, and I've seen film critics get up and leave. And that's whatever. Film critics are snobs. Yeah, we're all snobs.
They're jerks.
No matter how much we try and say we're not snobs, we're very snobby about movies.
I'm a snob.
But for regular, I mean, literally I saw 20 or 30 people out of the 100 that showed up to see Disaster Movie ahead of time get up and leave. That takes skill.
And there was somebody who left this group of people. There was like 4 or 5 of them left.
Yeah.
And it was like an hour into the movie. The movie's 90 minutes. So they left like maybe within 20 minutes of the ending.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, they just couldn't suffer through that next 20 minutes.
And it literally is. Movies like this are cinematic torture. Although I will say
that was my line for
this
Meet the Spartans.
Is a little bit better than Meet the Spartans. There were a couple things I left. They do a lot of Juno parodies, which I thought some of the dialogue was kind of quick and funny. It kind of poked fun at that movie, but the problem is that Jason Freeberg and Aaron Seltzer
need to be shot.
Not need to be shot, but all they do is take as many pop culture references as they can and squash them into a movie. The problem is, where they really fail is that they don't have enough material. So when they make a funny observation about Alvin and the Chipmunks or any
High School
Iron
Musical.
Man or High School Musical, the joke has to go on too long.
Always.
So,
and they keep going back to the same joke sometimes.
They don't have enough material. These guys really need to dig deeper next time. Because there will be a next time.
There's a lot of digging in this movie.
Yes.
Well, you know, let me say, first of all, I want to say I appreciate Lionsgate for actually showing the movie. And I say it's very brave. And because I think just the fact that we're talking about it, people are going to be like, it can't be that bad. And there are idiots out there who are going to go make sure they see the movie.
Oh, yeah. No, it's that
but
bad.
With that said, this movie was the most random, even for these guys' movies, this was so ridiculously random. And the writing was so bad, and the acting is bad, and they like get what it seems to be is they've got a staple of like 3 or 4 actors that they think are really funny but really aren't, and they put them in all these roles. Like there's a guy who plays the same guy plays Beowulf, who plays Prince Caspian, who plays
the guy from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, Anton Sugar or whatever his name was. So and he doesn't look like any of them. And it's like watching Mad TV in its first couple years where you're like, wow, you know, I know Saturday Night Live stretches, but some of these people really don't look like or even act like the people. And like Nicole Parker's funny at times in the movie and she's attractive, but she just, I think, is just better than everyone because you don't see any of these people in anything else.
Yep. The only thing that made it okay for me was Vanessa Minnillo.
She was hot.
Just because she's hot.
She's
Anyways,
hot.
This one totally sucks, but slightly better than Meet the Spartans.
Sucks.
All right. We'll be back.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
Okay, sorry, I get distracted by looking for images of Vanessa Milano
Manillo
on Google. By the way, I'm going to just completely two things. First of all, I want to say one other thing about, oh, there she is in a bikini. I do want to say one other thing about Disaster Movie.
Oh geez.
Kim Kardashian is like the worst actress ever.
Oh yeah.
But her breasts help the movie out a lot.
The only problem with her in this movie is that she doesn't look like that all the time.
Like, no.
Probably their biggest accomplishment what, you was mean her br- making when you say, her look hot. Normally she's just chunky.
No, I get into Kim, but that's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. She's but what's funny is there's a scene where she wrestles Carmen Electra, and you can totally tell when the stunt women are doing it because, well, first of all, they don't even shoot it pretending like they're not stunt people, because
right,
you know, but her butt, she's got this huge rear.
She's got a badonkadonk. She's as the got Mountain like, Dew commercials would tell you.
She's got two badonkadonks. I mean,
she's got a badonkadonkadonk.
Yeah, it there's a lot of Kim Kardashian there, but her stunt woman didn't. So that's one thing you can.
Her stunt woman needs to work on the donk.
Her stunt woman needs to do some more squats.
Anyways,
the next thing I have to say, and it's more. Important. It's important.
I'm sure. It is.
Was it about Vanessa Milano? Oh no! You know what? I watched Pathology the other day.
Yeah,
it's not a bad movie. I gotta. I actually.
I
had
said
to say,
it wasn't that bad. You did. It's just not my cup of tea. I gave it a like C something.
A C something. I liked it. I give it an.
I figured you'd like it.
Yeah.
If I could have predicted anything. Well, see, you're more the audience for that. Like you can get into the Saw movies and things like that.
But it really wasn't like the Saw movie. Well, I mean, they got
irritating.
It was
kind of twisted, but
they didn't like torture people.
But like that movie fits into that. Like people who really get into that. That movie works for them, you know, but everybody else in the world, which is like 80% of us.
Oh, yeah, because Saw is such a failure at the box office. No, I thought Pathology was good. The hardest thing is it is a hard sell because it's hard. It reminded me a little bit, and I think this may have been why it had some problems in its release. It reminded me a little bit of Charlie Bartlett. It's hard to explain and get people past the undesirable parts of it. Yeah, in the log line, in the explanation. So, fair but enough. I'll go on the record. I like
it. It did make my list of
I saw that
the DVDs that deserved a second look.
I saw that.
So, anyways, moving on to the indie spotlight. And before we get to the movie we're going to talk about this week, I would like to mention that Hamlet 2, which we talked about last week in this segment, has expanded this week. So go out and see it. It's in more markets. Hopefully, it's in yours as well.
Okay.
I don't know. It's opening here, I think.
It opened here last week.
Oh, that's right.
In Columbus, it opened last week. Yeah.
That's because we're cool. Yes. Anyways, this week's is Sukiyaki Western Django. It stars Quentin Tarantino.
Okay, makes me want to now stampede.
What
to
else do
it.
You need? This is...
Dude, can I tell you some of the things that Quentin Tarantino starred in?
No.
One of his first acting gigs?
All bad.
You know what his first acting gig was?
No.
One of the Golden Girls episodes.
Nice.
He played an Elvis.
I wish I could have done that. Anyway,
you were like... A baby when the Golden
I wish
Girls
I could have been on the Golden Girls. I
as
totally.
A baby.
Anyways, this
as
is
a
the
baby
first.
Elvis.
This is an
as a terrorist baby Elvis.
This is an American Western from director Takashi Miike. Well, it's an American Western, but it was made in Japan, which I don't know how that
is
works.
Is it in Japanese?
No, it's in
English.
English American, as the guy from Tropic Thunder would say.
Okay.
But I did see one clip. We haven't seen the movie because it's not opening here, nor did it. This didn't play at like any of the film festivals I was at.
Well, one of the writers from Film School Rejects, Rob Hunter, saw it, didn't he?
Rob Hunter saw it. And he said it was okay.
He likes everything with foreign people.
He's into foreign film, but he's also into Miike's stuff, which you know. I mean, I guess you know it's like me and Michael Bay. It's weird, but. I did see one pretty cool clip. It was on Rotten Tomatoes that where a guy with a gun fights a guy with a sword, and that looked pretty cool. It looked like
martial artsy type thing.
Martial artsy type fight between a gun and a sword.
That happens all the time in the West.
It reminded me a little bit of Kill Bill, you know, I guess, but one person.
Was he wearing a yellow jumpsuit?
No, he wasn't, but that would have been pretty cool. But the visual style kind of reminded me of a Tarantino, that, you know, the almost dead look of snow falling. I don't know if that even makes sense.
What are you talking
about? It was done in the snow, and it looked very much like that scene in Kill Bill where Lucy Liu and Daryl Hannah go at it in the garden where the snow.
Oren Ishii or whatever her name is.
Whatever. So it looks pretty cool, and I think that, you know, if you're into Takashi Miike.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. I don't know. Is that the case? Because Miike
makes crazy horror movies.
Yeah, he's known in Japan for doing some weird, weird, weird stuff. I mean, stuff that, like, I'm uncomfortable talking about.
Right.
And he's done... Now, he has deviated from that. He did a movie, and I forget what it was called, a couple years ago, but it was really basically a kid's movie. It was kind of like a kid's Japanese monster. No, seriously, it was. And I saw it at a film festival, and you keep waiting for some person to give a live human birth and then lactate over everyone, and then you're like, no, it's like a kid's movie.
Right.
But
save the lactating for disaster movie. Yeah.
Oh, now you've just taken the wind out of my sails. I'm sorry.
It was in there.
But Miike's stuff, it's twisted and weird, but he has been sort of going outside of the box. Now he's done stuff, he's done stuff with, have you seen that? You probably don't because you're a big pansy. The Masters of Horror TV show. Are you familiar with that?
I know what it is.
Yeah, it's where they
know that it's on a television.
Do you know what they do in it?
No.
It's an hour long show and it's a weekly show, and they bring in a famous horror movie director, and they'll direct a 1 hour movie basically, and they show it. And it's the Masters of Horror, and they've had you know John Landis, and they had Lucky McKee do one, you know. So it's not just older school, but new people as well. And the one that Miike did was called Imprint, I think. And it was really twisted, but again, it was in English. Now, so the other thing I'd be curious about this one is it's in English, but are the actors English speaking, or are they speaking phonetically? Because he used Japanese actors in Imprint, and they learned their lines phonetically, which kind of made it... It's a very dead delivery.
It's in English, and there are Japanese actors.
Are they naked?
I have no idea.
That's what I care about.
It's rated R, though, for strong violence, including a rape.
Well, it is Miike.
I think it's premiering at the Toronto Film Fest. No, it premiered last year at Toronto.
It's Miike.
Anyways.
That's Miike.
That's your indie spotlight for this week. Let's talk about the box office. That was a really lame indie spotlight, because we haven't seen the movie, so we just kind of had to pick something.
That's because you're lame.
Because I didn't go to Toronto in 2007.
Did Miike do Ichi the Killer? He did Ichi the Killer.
Anyways, so...
That's a bizarre one.
It is. It's pretty interesting. But let's talk about the box office.
Okay.
Last week, Tropic Thunder, again.
The Great Yokai War is the name of that kid's movie that he did.
Oh, cool. Back to the box office.
Wake up, dude. I'm the one who's tired and you're falling asleep.
That's because I was ready to talk about the box office and you're still talking about Japanese stuff. Blah, 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 blah. Japanese... swords and stuff.
You're the one who was talking about swords and weapons.
Guns and anyways, so Tropic Thunder won the box office last week. The House Bunny was in second. Death Race came in third. The big surprise, I guess, was that The Rocker just tanked.
Well, but they were getting news of that early, and it did so poorly on Wednesday and Thursday. I thought the big news was that The House Bunny did as well as it did.
It did, and you know what? It deserved to, because it was a lot better movie than you would expect.
Yeah. Well, and apparently I got some mileage out of my review that I wrote for Film School Rejects.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It went to the front page of Dig.com.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
I think it's because it just said Anna Faris in hot pants in the title.
Yes.
So people were excited about that.
Yeah. The names tended to... Yeah, propel it.
That's all that really matters. So this week we've got another full slate of releases, and personally I think it's going to be a tough one to call, because I've seen everybody from our guy John, who does the Reject Report at the box office, he's calling Babylon AD to be number one. I don't see that happening, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's a good bet that Tropic Thunder is going to be number one.
Yeah.
But I still think it's going to be a horse race between that and Babylon AD and Disaster Movie. Now, when I went into the screening of Disaster Movie, before I even went there, I'd heard that the tracking was a little soft on it, but I was like, you know what? These movies have been doing well. I mean, Meet the Spartans beat out Rambo, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the screening, and like, it was not even half full for a free screening.
And by the end, it was even less.
Yeah, because some people walked out. So I'm like, you know, it might be the end of these spoof movies, because superhero movie didn't do well. at all.
And that was actually a decent flick.
Yeah, and it was funny, but I don't think it had anything to do with the Darth Weinstein business.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just that people are, I think, kind of tired of him. Friedberg and Seltzer.
Friedberg and Seltzer.
They, I think, have single-handedly killed. It's sort of like how torture porn's run its course. I think the spoof movies have run their course. They're going to disappear. 10 years from now, they're going to have another one, and then it'll be like everyone will be like, "This is brilliant. Why didn't they do these before?"
Right, and they'll be giving them Oscars or something. Anyways,
I don't know about that.
So I agree. I think Disaster Movie is hopefully going to fail miserably and end this terrible genre that has plagued us.
After seeing that, I think it's going to fall lower, I think it's going to be probably 4 or 5.
I mean, then again, without these movies, what do we really have to talk about?
That's true.
So,
and I respect Lionsgate for showing it to us. I will say that again.
It's a very brave thing.
Go support Lionsgate, even though they got a week slate this year.
I don't know if I'd go that far. Their movies suck.
Well, not all of them.
The stuff they've come out with so far.
Forbidden Kingdom was good.
That was okay. But then they've got like Punisher and The Spirit coming out later this year. Both of those are going to suck.
Yeah, it's a 1-2 punch of crap.
But I don't think you should support Disaster Movie.
No, I won't. No, I'm not saying to support Disaster Movie, but like maybe to support another Lionsgate release if it's decent.
They don't have anything else out.
They got Saw 5 coming
out.
Go
see Midnight Meat Train at the Dollar Theater. Okay. That's what you need to do. So anyways, I'm going to have to go with you on this one. Tropic Thunder at number 1. Babylon AD, maybe number 2. Disaster Movie, just creeping towards 4 and 5.
Yeah.
But I think The House Bunny might still be strong in The Dark Knight. I still don't see it falling out of the top 5.
I think Disaster Movie's going to come in below Dark Knight and House Bunny. Although a big news story was apparently this week on one of the weekdays, The Dark Knight failed to make $1 million.
Oh.
And that's like sort of like the turn of the worm thing movie, for a huge hit. So it should start. And I think it's because, well, my God, it's made like $500 million.
It's been out for a
month. It's made $500 million. If you haven't seen it yet, you don't deserve to.
Yeah, exactly.
So you wait for DVD. Wah, wah, wah.
Nice. So the last thing I really have is the Bring On The Hype segment. We're going to talk a little bit about Max Payne. This might have to go into the internet only segment if we get too long.
I think we will get to it on the internet only.
But
So I'm just going to make weird noises for the rest of the
segment. That's fine. Do you have anything else to say so we can run out the last 30 seconds of this segment?
No, you can introduce Max Payne, and then you have to go to the internet to listen to this.
Yes, we're going to talk about the Max Payne trailer, as well as Mark Wahlberg's very controversial statement about Max Payne in relation to The Dark Knight.
Did he call anybody a retard in it?
No.
Okay.
He made a huge claim.
Oh, I'll make a claim. Peter Dinklage should have been a Disaster Movie.
I agree. We'll be right back. And now we're back, and we're internet only eyes.
Wow.
I don't even know what that means. But we are going to talk about some hype. We only have a couple things to talk about. Ooh,
it's Michael Jackson's birthday today.
Is it?
Or, well, on this weekend.
This weekend?
Friday is Michael Jackson's
birthday. He's in Disaster Movie.
He's 50 years old.
All right.
Which makes him 4 times as old as the kids he's molesting.
Wow. Wow.
We're in the internet-only segment.
But it puts
him in
at least the same age group as all the other men in the country who are molesting.
That's right.
Young
I hear
boys,
he's going to go into the priesthood.
Oh, wow.
You're Catholic, aren't you?
I am. But I was not
an altar boy.
Anymore. No, I was.
Were you touched inappropriately as a child?
Never. I didn't get close enough to the priest.
But the nuns, they loved you.
Well, the nuns were okay.
The nuns loved Neil Miller.
I went to St. Hot Nunnians. So.
St. Hot Nunnians?
Yep.
I can't believe they allow a school like that to exist.
I welcomed that
Did you wear the schoolgirl outfit with the skirt?
No.
There's a picture of, what's her name, on the internet like that.
Vanessa Minnillo?
Yeah,
I know. I just showed it to you a little while ago in the middle of a segment. It caused
you
to stop.
You didn't have the picture with her and me.
Oh, fair enough. Anyways, moving on to Max Payne. We watched the trailer before the show, but also, interestingly enough, Mark Wahlberg was quoted on...
The internet.
On the internet as saying... I'm not talking about financial box office. I'm talking one-on-one with these. And he put up his fists. This is what he told MTV. Talking about how Max Payne could kick the Dark Knight's ass.
Have you seen Boogie Nights?
Yeah.
That sounds like a quote that would come right out of the little Boogie Night interview segment with Dirk Diggler.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like talking about karate.
I do karate.
And it's in that 16 millimeter grain.
Right. So he's laid down the gauntlet. Apparently, Max Payne is better than the Dark Knight. I don't know. You could.
They're two totally different comic books.
They are. And while I don't think it's going to be better than Dark Knight, based on the trailers that we're seeing, it looks okay.
Peter Dinklage could take on the Dark Knight.
Yes. It shows promise for a comic book or video game adaptation. Sorry, it's not a comic book.
It's not a
video
comic
game
book?
Adaptation. And it's a video game adaptation. Uwe Boll has nothing to do with it.
That's always a good thing.
And I really think that both visually, it really has a very cool style. And it's got a decent cast with Mark Wahlberg and Mila Kunis.
And Ben Kingsley.
No, not Ben Kingsley. And Olga
Michael Madsen.
Olga Kurylenko.
Was that Olga Kurylenko?
It is.
I love Olga Kurylenko.
She's also going to be in the James Bond movie, which, have I mentioned that at Quantum of Solace, despite having a really stupid title, is the single most anticipated movie the rest of the year for me? Like, there's nothing else that I really, like, need to see except for the freaking James Bond movie.
Really?
I love James Bond.
You're awesome.
I would totally make out with Daniel Craig.
Would you make out with
Olga Kurylenko?
Would you make out with Pierce Brosnan?
No.
Would you make out?
Because he wasn't the right kind of Bond for me. It's either Connery or Craig. That's it.
Timothy Dalton?
No.
Even in The License to Kill? Or not License to Kill, but Living Daylights?
Nope.
Would you make out with George Lazenby?
No. I don't even know who that is.
Would you make out with Mackenzie Phillips?
Who's Mackenzie Phillips?
She did not play James Bond. She was on One Day at a Time. Did you ever watch that show? And she took a lot of drugs, and she recently got busted at the airport for drugs again.
Oh.
And she's like 50, which Michael Jackson is, as is Madonna.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did I ever tell you my
theory?
You
are so gone.
Have I ever told you my theory of why...
That if you just keep talking, you get further and further away from where you started?
Why there are so many celebrities with babies right now? I think
because
I told
of the strike.
You this.
Yeah, we talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
You off the air.
No, we talked about it on the air.
Did we?
I don't know.
No,
somebody's
going
to have to call us at 614-388-8735 and tell us if we talked about it, because I don't listen to our show.
The lady from California.
Yeah, whose name we obviously
can't remember. Dawn? Is it Dawn?
Maybe. I don't know.
We're going to call Frida.
We remember her by her area code.
Yeah, just she's from California, and we have yet to offend her. But yeah, give us a call and let us know if we talked about this already. But I'm going to talk about it again because there was a strike and all the actors, they're stupid. They're bouncing around like bocce balls and they just start to
having
have
sex.
It's sort of like when they have a blizzard in the Midwest, then 9 months later they have a whole bunch of babies.
Yep.
You wouldn't know anything about that because girls don't have sex with you unless you tie them up.
At this particular juncture, you are correct. But we're not talking overall here.
So... Would you make out with Mark Wahlberg?
Maybe.
I'm just going to name people, and you tell me if you'd make out with them.
Okay.
Johnny Depp.
Of course.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Quentin Tarantino.
No.
Takashi Miike.
He's a douche.
He's a douche?
Takashi Miike, nah, I've never seen the guy.
You didn't see Hostel.
No.
What about Adam Freiberg?
Who's that?
Or Aaron Seltzer. Those guys
Jason
who
Freiberg?
Jason Freiberg.
No. Those guys are douches, too.
Would you make out
well.
With...
Mila Kunis, yes.
Would you make out with Mark Hamill from Star Wars?
Like Mark Hamill, 1970s?
Like Luke Skywalker?
Mark Hamill?
Star Wars Mark Hamill.
Maybe.
What about Empire Strikes Back, Mark Hamill?
Probably.
We're getting farther away. Return of the Jedi, no way.
He only had one arm.
Make out with Darth Vader?
With the suit on?
Well, you'd have to take the mask off.
He's
breath.
Got
to
keep the mask on.
Could he just like open the...
Nope. Got to keep the... I will make
well,
out with
the would
you
make
mask.
Out with?
The mask.
Would you make out with the Emperor?
No. I don't like wrinkly people. I don't like wrinkly men or women.
Would you make out with Sandra Bernhardt?
She looks...
You have to think about this?
She looks close enough to Mark Wahlberg, so maybe.
Okay.
Depending on if there was money involved.
Would you make out with Jay Leno? Because they used to be an item.
That's gross.
That's gross.
Yeah.
That's gross. But making out with
Jay Leno making out with Sandra Bernhardt is gross.
Okay, let's play a game.
I used to play this game
when I was in college.
When you were in kindergarten.
You name two celebrities that you would not want to see having sex. And then the next person has to one-up you. So I'm going to start.
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Brando, Rosie O'Donnell. You go.
Oh, that's not fair.
Okay, I'll do it again. Gary Shandling, Sandra Bernhardt.
Hold on, you gotta give me a chance. All right, Kramer from Seinfeld.
Michael Richards.
And the monkey from Speed Racer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Would he be saying the N-word in the process?
Probably.
Okay, here we go. The guy who played Dr. Giggles, but when he was the retarded guy on L.A. Law.
Wow.
And I would have to say Rosie Perez.
Rosie Perez is kind of hot.
I don't know about that. She's kind of chunky.
Sacha Baron Cohen as Borat and David Cross.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah. As a blue man.
from yep. Arrested Development. That's right. You're just looking at the DVDs over here on the wall, aren't you?
I am.
Okay.
So there you go. That was our little
Jason
game.
Jason Freeberg and Aaron Seltzer.
No. I don't want to watch anything that involves them. I don't want to watch anything they've directed, anything. I don't even want to watch special features to DVDs that they didn't direct.
Okay.
That they're on.
I don't want to see it. What are they going to do? Fire up the go, here's the Casablanca DVD, and we got commentary by the guys who did Date Movie.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past them. Anyways, the weekly WTF, didn't we want to talk about sex addiction here?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean.
Obviously.
No, David Duchovny's in rehab for sex addiction. It's a cross
some of us have to bear.
You know, I've heard this. This was a rumor a while back that he was a sex addict. I mean, back in the old X-Files days, not the crappy second movie they did, X-Files days.
Right.
But like way back in like the mid-90s.
Right.
It was a rumor, and apparently it's true.
He's a sex addict. I can respect that. If there's anything you could be addicted to that's solid, that's good, it's sex.
And heroin.
Heroin too. But here's the other problem, though. You know, a dude being
he's married to Taya Leone, for crying out loud.
A man being a sex addict is it doesn't
I think we
affect
are.
Anything. We're all addicted to it in some level. But
like, what is it? Do you sit there and be like, I really want sex all the time, and all the other guys in the room are like, yeah, so do we. And he's like, no, like really, really want it.
Like really need it.
Yeah, but so do we.
Yeah.
I masturbate all the time.
Yeah, so like, does everybody
so
else.
So do we.
Not
that I do. I'm married.
But, God, you got me off topic now. A woman sex addict dating someone who needs to have sex all the time? Not so fun. It's fun for a while, and yes, I've done it.
You have? Louis C.K. has a little routine. I think it's Louis C.K. who did this.
Yeah.
Has a little routine about that. Where he's like, I believe his line was, he's like, okay, then you finish, and you're like, ah, I'm done. And then she looks at you, and she's like, let's do it again.
Right.
So.
And that's great for like the first week.
Yeah. Sort of like dating a stripper.
Yep.
Not that I have, but I would imagine it'd be like really awesome, and then you realize that she's a whore.
Yeah.
Not that all strippers are whores.
I think that's what you just said.
But if you really want to get mileage at a strip club, treat the stripper like a lady.
Because no one treats them like a lady.
Absolutely.
Like you would treat Vanessa Manillo.
I would treat her. You get more mileage in a strip club out of actually lighting the girl's cigarette than throwing money at her. Believe it or not.
It's amazing. It's amazing the things that you pick up along the way.
So I've heard.
And crabs. But that's all. I think that's it.
I don't have crabs.
That's took you a minute.
But I'll bet you David Duchovny does.
Who knows? You live in Hollywood and you're a sex addict.
He doesn't live in Hollywood. He lives in Vancouver.
Or he lives in Vancouver.
No, he does live in Hollywood.
Or he lives in Hollywood.
That's right.
Or
they moved the X-Files production to L.A. for him.
He exists somewhere where there are women, I'm sure. But Taya Leone's hot. I mean, I'd bet.
Although she's older now.
It doesn't matter. She was really hot in Bad Boys. Might I remember?
Yeah, like, that was made in,
95.
Like, 65.
Anyways.
1965. That was the first movie that Michael Bay ever made.
That's really all I have to say about all this. He's a sex addict. That's it. That's cool. We're totally cool. We endorse
sex. Doesn't he play a
sex
addict in Californication?
I don't know. I've never watched it. I need to, though.
Apparently, according to the AP, he does.
Cool. Anywho, that's all we have for our internet-only segment. When we come back, we've got a DVD roundup.
We've completely destroyed.
We've got a review wrap-up. We're going to talk about what's Nicolas Cage in a mullet. I think that's pretty interesting. And then we'll send you on your way into the world.
We're going to have a fun show next week because
there's nothing
one movie,
to talk about.
There's one movie.
We'll find something.
And they're not showing it.
I'm sure we'll find something. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. once again, another internet-only segment down. And if you missed it,
I would probably recommend
not going back and listening to it. In fact, you don't want to listen to our show ever again.
Yeah, you do.
Well, some people like it. It's kind of like watching a train wreck.
Yeah, it's kind of like watching a disaster movie.
You can't stop.
It's like watching a disaster movie. Some people are going to go see it. I guarantee the movie's going to make $2 million at least.
It will. It'd be so funny if it made like $40 million. I would laugh so hard.
It's going to be one of these things that people will turn around and be like, oh, wow, this thing made a lot of money. This thing's beating The Dark Knight. It's going to make $600 million.
That would be sad.
In China.
According to the logic expressed in Tropic Thunder, it should.
It'll make 600 million yen.
It should. Anyways,
which is Japan, actually.
Time to move on.
I understand geopolitics.
Fair enough. Moving on to the DVD roundup.
Which?
Wow, that was really lame.
That was my. I'm tired.
I still
have to see a movie and do all these radio interviews this week.
Cool.
I'm in demand, man.
We've got some good picks this week. We've got some fun ones. In fact, a movie right along the lines of Disaster Movie actually snuck its way past the stinker moniker and made it to one of our picks. But we'll start
by me,
of course.
It is not a unanimous choice.
It doesn't have to be. We each get our picks. But what's your pick? We'll start with that.
The Nightmare Before Christmas. They're re-releasing it on double disc DVD, which actually is three discs because you get the digital copy, which I don't quite get digital copy.
You can put it on your iPod.
It's for iPod, but they're like, oh, it'll download
to your...
I can
put it on my phone.
Well, they say it'll download to your computer. And I'm like, don't all computers have a DVD drive on them?
Well,
so can't you just watch it?
If you
want
to save it and go away, because it's not really legal to rip a DVD.
You just put the DVD in the computer. I mean,
yeah, but what if you want to not have to carry around the DVD? You just
put it in
a
sleeve.
See,
this is okay. Anyways,
but you drive a minivan, you wouldn't get it.
Okay, but anyways, I'll be curious.
You have storage space. The rest of us don't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, it's not that big.
Anyways,
it's like a credit card, only bigger.
But it does come with The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes, So it's really three discs because one of them's digital copy. The other two. In reality, there's not a whole lot more to it than what it's been previously released.
Yeah.
But it's nice if you don't have it to get it. There's also a little bit of how they do a whole little feature on how they upgraded the Haunted Mansion ride for Christmas time with The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is actually kind of cool.
Cool.
But other than that, the other big thing is that it's first time on Blu-ray.
Yeah, they sent it to me on Blu-ray. I haven't watched it yet.
It's an awesome movie. Have you seen the movie before?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's awesome. The only better way to watch this is in the digital 3D.
So I've heard. Cool. Anyways, my picks, I've got two of them. I might have like three or four by the time we're done here.
Whatever.
My first one is Postal. It's Uwe Boll's movie.
I could kill somebody with my mind, it would be you right now. To steal a line from Lake Bell and What Happens in Vegas, also out this week on DVD.
Which, that's another one of those that I am going to be picking up this week on DVD. But Postal actually surprised me in that it didn't suck as bad as I thought it would. It's not a good movie, but I think it's worth going out and renting, because if you had to sit through Meet the Spartans like I did, you might as well watch Postal.
So what you're saying is it's sort of like asking out the fattest, ugliest girl and smelliest girl in school to prom and showing up and she actually has a dress and doesn't reek.
Right.
And you're like, well, you're still ugly and have no personality, but...
Are you saying that fat girls don't have personality?
No, I'm just saying that the worst girl in the world.
Fair enough.
I'm fat and I got oodles of personality. They're dripping from me. Or is that sweat?
But that is that is the risk of the week. If you really want to risk it, Postal, I actually laughed various times. A lot more than I laughed at Disaster Movie. If you're thinking about going out and seeing Disaster Movie this weekend, go rent Postal.
There's
instead.
Naked ladies in Postal.
That's half the ticket price right there.
Right? There's naked ladies in
Yes, place. Lots of them.
And naked full frontal with what's his name?
Dave Foley. But one even that is more tolerable than some of the crap we saw in Disaster Movie.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So my other pick is Heroes Season 2, because Heroes is one of my favorite shows. So
you just want to make
but
out with
you have
Milo.
Heroes, you've got The Shield, you've got Entourage, you've got all kinds of cool TV coming out on DVD. Also, Where in the World is Osama Bin Laden came out, which is a movie that I like that you did not.
Stupid.
So
dumb.
The Stinker of the Week is straight to DVD Hayden Christensen, just because we can make fun of Hayden Christensen.
Or as they say in Disaster Movie, hey, it's the guy who ruined Star Wars.
Yep.
Which I think was funny because, not that I'm saying that the guy ruins, that anyone ruined Star Wars, but if the blame goes on anyone, it doesn't go on Hayden Christensen. It'd probably go on George Lucas.
Yeah. So, but this one's called Virgin Territory. It sounds like a date rapist movie, but he's got he's got a sword and some garb, some old timey garb on.
Is it a light sword? Is it a laser sword?
It's a regular.
Does he like?
There's no way this movie can
tear off women's clothes with his mind.
It looks like it was made like 17 years ago. So, anyways,
why is he four in it?
He looks young, but anyways, moving along. Review wrap-up time, right?
Yes, College and Babylon AD both preemptive suck.
Preemptive suck. Traitor, you said...
Kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks, and I said kind of rocks as well.
You agreed with me,
really,
because I said it first.
Ambivalent to this movie. Disaster movie, I think we can both safely agree.
Suck.
It sucks.
But thank you for the studio for showing it.
We're glad that we got to see it and hate it.
Yes.
Ahead of time. Next week, we've got one big... movie
that they're not showing to anybody.
Bangkok Dangerous.
Was that Sean Connery?
That might be. It's got Nicolas Cage with a mullet, so it's pretty much guaranteed that we're not going to see it before it comes out. So, because there's no way any studio is standing behind that one. But in between now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com, or you can get us on the iTunes store. You go to fatguysthemovies.com, you'll get all the other information.
Bye.
That's all we got. Stupid, 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 stupid.